Okay. All right. Welcome to our second episode of Somehow We Manage. I promise I speak English. I've had a rough morning.
You need some more cold brew.
I've got some.
Oh, there you go.
My whole new cold brew.
Our home one.
I had a really rough morning. I had to get up, and then my son had an essay that he couldn't figure out how to print on the printer. And of course, then it's like, Mom, how does the printer work? So all of that stuff. But we are Somehow We Manage, and we are located here in the Santa Clarita Valley. We actually are all affiliated with a property management company called California Leasing, and we all work here in some form or fashion. So I'll let everybody just really quick introduce themselves. Cody, you want to go first?
Yeah. So I'm Cody. I'm one of the property managers. I think in the first episode we talked about that I like long walks on the beach, and no, I'm just kidding.
but you know, you do though.
I do. I really do. I think we talked about the office a lot as well.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things, or my wife and I, and I've been managing properties now for a little over a year.
And then we have Ellie. Yeah.
Hello, my name's Ellie. I have been with California Leasing for about 6 months now, and I'm a property manager for California Leasing. And yeah, that's me.
That's amazing. So we decided, and I'm Deanna, and I'm the marketing director here, and I like to do podcasts, and these guys humored me because they were also really interested. So we are just going to take time out for every episode to share with everyone our philosophy, how we manage homes, the kinds of things that our team has done, because these guys have done amazing things over the last year to really change how we interact with our clients, including our homeowners and then also our residents. We stopped calling them internally and externally tenants. We call them residents now because we consider everyone who works with California Leasing a big part of our family. So in this episode, we're going to talk about real estate, and we have a guest here who can chime in at any time if he wants to. We have Danny C here, who is his own professional real estate expert.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
For giving me all those accolades. Professional and expert. Yeah,
right. Cool. I had to throw some good words in there. So we are going to talk today in this episode about real estate and how we work with real estate agents, how our agents can bring us their clients for their property to be managed, and also how we manage those relationships back and forth when it's time to sell, when it's time to buy. How we take care of our clients and their property all the way through the leasing process, and then how we maintain those relationships. And then, of course, we work with Danny, who is our dedicated agent. If there's anything that we need for our clients, he's the one to handle it in terms of real estate, and he'll talk a little bit about that later. And then we'll also talk about how these offerings are really important and what we do to manage and nurture relationships with local agents, how we're continuing to expand our offerings, and how we network with them also. So I thought it would be cool if we just talk a little bit about some of those things and that for in our first section here, what we've started to do with agents, what we've done in the past. And then for our second section, we'll do like a fun Q&A with Danny about the real estate market, which I'm sure he's anxious to talk about.
Yes, I actually am. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Get some good info out.
So as property managers, we work with real estate agents a lot, and we get to see firsthand how those relationships are affected when it's time to sell, when it's time for those real estate agents to help their clients buy. What are your guys' experience as property managers been working with real estate agents and how we've started to improve those relationships?
So I'll go ahead.
Ellie's smirking.
You have a lot
Ellie's
more
got a smirk.
Experience than I do.
I've got like a few months more than you.
I'm like, but you've gotten a couple more referrals than I. So
that's okay. The experience with the real estate agents is, to be honest, some real estate agents don't want to necessarily work with a property manager.
A lot
of them, they're kind of put off by it. So I found great success in just putting a personal touch on things and just being nice and being who I am. And for that seemed to actually work for me. being available, that was the biggest thing. I actually talked to a realtor that I recently just sent out a referral to. And I said, you know, why did you decide to refer to me? And she said, well, you answered the phone. And I went, oh, yeah,
that's awesome.
Really? She goes, yeah. I mean, I called you, you answered. And even if I do call you and you don't answer, you text me right away and say, hey, I'll call you in the next 15 minutes. Like I'm on the phone with the client kind of thing. So that makes me feel important. This is what she's saying to me. And so why would I not refer to you? Because you're going to actually talk to me, or you're going to actually take the time to give me time. So I think for us, and for us to be successful, and us, I'm saying for me and Ellie and the rest of our property managers, is you just be, it's something as simple as answering the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then just being personable and giving them Honu gift cards is always helpful. Realtors love our coffee. I mean, yes, you know, I mean, I'm sure Danny can attest to coffee.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I would then say, like, because we've covered a little bit, we mentioned, you said that real estate agents don't really want to work with property managers. What would you guys say, like, as a script, or as like a dialogue to start a conversation, what would you say that you would want a real estate agent to know about working with a property manager? They might have misconceptions because of past experiences, or maybe they just think like, oh, they just want to take my client and never give it back. What would you say to a real estate agent to let them know, like, we're different?
Well, that is where we are very different, in my opinion, is we always refer back our clients that we get from real estate agents. We always refer them back to their home real estate agent. So if they bring us a client, then we refer back to them when that homeowner is ready to sell. And they always establish that connection. And then we also establish that connection, which builds a bigger network, and you get more clients by building a bigger network. So I would say that's where we're really different, is our referral program.
Yeah. The referral program, I think, is super important. And I think a lot of people don't realize that we're not just taking your client and then like, see you later, peace out. Like, we actually do want to work with you. And help your client build a portfolio. Cause I think that's one of the things that real estate agents that work with people who own investment properties, they really, really are like, oh, you know, my client has like 8 properties.
Yep.
And they think like that's a loss of revenue for them if they toss it over to us. But really, it's taking a huge weight off of their shoulders.
Yeah. And we also offer a referral bonus. So like they also get, what is it, $250?
It's $250. You get a nice little check from us, just like a little thank you. And then we send that to you. And that's kind of how we also establish a better relationship with you. It's like, and also some realtors don't know that we can actually, they can defer that money to their client. So we just, another referral that I got, one of our agents said, you know what, keep the $250, give it back to my client. And then we deducted that fee from her fees, from other clients' fees. So it actually kind of helps out. And then it keeps that relationship too.
Yeah.
So it's not, it was great. And then that client was super happy about that. Like, oh, wow, I get a bonus.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to have that option. So I think a lot of realtors don't know that we do that. We have the referral program. And then also we kind of walk through, you know, we take care of your client. You know, it's not like you said, Deanna, we're going to take the property and all right, see you later. So,
yeah. And I think the other thing too is, so I work with a lot of real estate people over the last 10 years. I'm going across the street in a little bit to do a training at another real estate office. Mm-hmm. But I work with a lot of real estate people, and they end up getting crazy busy when it comes time for maintenance requests, because some of their homeowners don't realize that I'm just finding you the tenant. I'm not going to manage your property for you. And then it ends up becoming this huge, huge, like chaotic situation. I know a few years ago, I had a real estate agent who she's a very good friend of mine. And we ended up talking for a long time because she was like, oh, I started working with homeowners of investment property and like their tenants are calling me now. And I was like, it's, you have to tell them, like, that's your job now. Unless you hire a property management company, that's your job now, is to manage your home. And we ended up getting her two clients as clients here, because she was like, finally had a like come to Jesus conversation with them and said, I'm not in charge of your homes. I found you a tenant. I screened the property for you. I got it all set and ready to go, but I don't have vendors. And the owner was like, what do you mean you don't have vendors?
Right.
Aren't you a real estate agent? Don't you like have people who do these things to like prepare property for sale? And, you know, she was a fairly new agent at the time. And she just was like, yeah, go take these people. I don't like, I think I had Danny call them, talk to them and like got them on board. And then everything went smoothly after that. But it was just like, they were ready to fire her from everything. And it was like, we helped to facilitate that relationship with the vendors so that the real estate agent doesn't have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You obviously, as a real estate professional, probably have somebody who comes in and does home inspections and things like that. But do you have a laundry list of HVAC guys that you're going to send out during the summer months when it's like 120 degrees here in Southern California?
Yeah.
Like, probably not. So
that's another good point, is we take care of the client's property to make sure that when an agent comes in, it's ready to sell. We aren't just letting problems build up to where you have to put like another, what, $5,000 into the property before it can be ready to put on the market. Mm-hmm. So that's a big, big plus with property management.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Because then that money, like, that's the thing too, right? Is with the security deposit.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge, like, sometimes homeowners walk in and they have lived in the property before and they go like, oh, my house. And then they just want to keep the entire security deposit because they don't understand somebody's lived there for 3-4 years and it's not going to look the same way it looked when you lived there.
Yeah.
So the sentimentality of it ends up ruining an entire relationship, because then you make a visit to small claims court because somebody wants their security deposit back.
Yep.
You know, so having us go in there, you know, you guys do the move out with the tenant, the resident, right? Yeah. So you guys walk through and then we help to make it make ready. So they're ready to sell it if they need to.
We also can do annual inspections. We can make sure that the property is being maintained basically throughout the whole lease.
Right. See, I love that we do that, because I know that other property management companies don't offer the annual inspection. So then you have people who are residents in your property for 3, 4, 5 years, because it's just easier to not move. Moving sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, and then they move out and it's like, well, so that's broken and that's broken
and the walls and are taken away of smoke.
And oh, I painted that room. Wait a minute.
Hang on a second.
You did a remodel. Cool. Yeah. That's nice. Didn't the kitchen used to have like a wall?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Love the open layout.
Thanks for doing that. Sure. I really appreciate the polka dotted pink wall that you put in there. That's gorgeous.
Oh yeah.
But I think that that's super important. The relationships that we build, the laundry list of vendors that we have. Destiny has so many people and she's always taking on new people into her database.
And she knows them all. She'll be like, hold on, I'll text them for you right now. Angel will get back to me right away. And I'm like, dang girl, you get a response like that. I'm like left in somebody's voicemail.
Because they, she knows them
and they
know
them.
Her and she's like the vendor mama bear.
Yes.
If they don't call her back, she will call them until they do and text them until they do. And then they're like little kids. They're like, I'm sorry, Destiny.
Mess with mama.
I didn't mean to do that.
Honestly.
She's amazing. We love her so much. But I think that that's super important. And I love that we have the referral bonus. I love that we have these relationships. I think it's so important and it's so smart to get all of these things, this message out to real estate agents, because you guys have done networking groups. You guys are going out and putting California Leasing out there at a bunch of different real estate networking groups, which is great, because the more people understand that we're just here to be like an extra branch of an offering that you offer to your clients, it makes it so much easier for them to be able to help their clients, build a portfolio and make more money and solidify their futures and retirement and all that good stuff. All right. So we are going to move on to our next section. We are going to have a fun interview with Danny C, and it'll probably make you laugh. We'll probably all laugh as well.
He looks really excited right now.
He's super excited. If you could see his face right now,
I know
you'd be super excited too.
I have a face for podcasts. People tell me that all the time. I don't really know what it means, but
we'll get you like a bumper sticker or a pin
or a shirt.
We should all get shirts that say I have a face for podcasts.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That'd be hilarious.
I love it so much. All right, let's move on to our interview with Danny. Danny, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about why you got into real estate. Why you work with us. I mean, we know why you work with us because we're amazing.
It's obvious.
We're obviously.
So my name's Danny, Danny Cassis. We have to specify because there's a Danny that works here at California Leasing. He would say he's the original Danny. I've been in the real estate space since 2004. That's when I got my first investment property. As a professional, before I, became the professional expert that, Deanna just told me that I was, I spent 15 years as a deputy sheriff out here, for the County of Los Angeles. The last eight of which were at a canine assignment. So it's actually the best assignment that you could possibly have. At least I think so. If you like dogs, you can get paid to work with dogs.
That's so cool. I didn't know that about you. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a great job. I miss it in some aspects, but it was just kind of like, I had accomplished everything that I wanted to accomplish in the law enforcement space. And, real estate was something that I've always been involved in. I just kind of transitioned into making it my full-time commitment, and, it's going really well. I really enjoy it. I enjoy the people that I work with. I've been the California Leasing.
Ellie's like, you're welcome.
You can meet me in foosball any day.
We could talk about foosball. We want to talk about foosball.
We don't.
But yeah, no, I love it. I get to help a lot of people. Real estate agents will say it's a rewarding career. And it really is. And I didn't realize it until, I started doing it full time. I'd been on the side of the transactions of buying and selling as an individual on my own. But once I actually got to get my hands dirty and get behind the scenes, you realize, what a real service you're providing to people. And it's been fun. It's great. It's a great career. I love it.
It's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's one of the things that John always says all the time about what we do is that we get the opportunity to provide people with a basic need, housing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't even really realize how special that can be for people. And especially when you have families in today's market that have been looking for a place to live forever. Ever. They're stuck in apartments. They don't want to live in an apartment. They want to live in a house. And things are renting so fast and selling so fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, my parents are looking to move, and they've gone to like all these different open houses and things and stuff. And I'm like, my dad went, was like, oh, we're going to put in an offer on this house. I'm like, you should have just done it before you left the house.
Yeah.
Have your agent write an offer right now. He was like, 2 days later, he's like, yeah, it's gone. I'm like, I know. I know.
Yep.
Yeah.
But with that, like we see a lot of our residents who end up transitioning and want to be home buyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and a lot of them are first time home buyers, or they qualify to be first-time home buyers because they haven't owned a home in a really long time. What steps, Danny, would you recommend that as us as professionals in property management and talking to people, what would you say are the best things that a person who's a resident, who's a renter, could take to get started with the home ownership process?
So I say, I think the best thing you can do early on is talk to an agent, because everybody's situation is different. And it's really hard for me to, you know, throw out a one size fits all, you know, step by step. You know, I think it's kind of a misconception that people have of real estate agents as, you know, I'm not going to talk to an agent until I'm ready to buy. Or they think that we're going to try to push them into something they're not ready for, but it's actually the opposite. You know, a good agent is going to ask more questions than, you know, give advice. I would say my first, you know, my first consult with a buyer or seller is mostly just me asking questions. And then at the end, you know, I can kind of know what information to provide them for, to give them next steps and help them make their next, you know, their next, their decision for their next move. You know, just in that first consultation, you know, I can find out, you know, if we need to do some work on credit repair, I have resources for that. A lot of times we can boost your score pretty much immediately for free. In a lot of cases, doesn't cost any money. You know, we can figure out, if you, you know, there are first time home buyer programs that we can talk about. You know, I can find out if you qualify for any of those. So yeah, really it's just talking to an agent early on. The earlier, the better. You know, it's a new process for you. It's stressful for anyone.
Sure.
And you know, there's every reason to reach out to me, and really not many reasons not to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a common misconception, is that if I'm ready to buy a house, that it's going to happen next week.
Right.
Yeah. Like I hired an agent. I did a sign a buyer's agreement or whatever process that, you know, that agent has in place, and then we'll be moved in the next like 30 days.
Yeah.
And that's typically not the case.
No, not at all.
You know, I think in the fastest cases, you know, if somebody comes to me and they're already pre-approved as a buyer, and they, you know, they know exactly what they're looking for in this market, you know, you got to plan on a month before you even get under contract, because houses can, you know, can sell in a weekend, like you mentioned, for, you know, with multiple offers, and there can only be one winner, you know.
Yeah.
Multiple people can't move into a house.
I guess you could work something out. But it is once you even find the house and you do get an offer accepted, you know, then your clock runs for escrow, which is, you know, anywhere upwards of 60 days in some cases. So it is, you know, it is a longer process. And when you're working with an agent, you're, you know, that agent is going to help you with each step along the way. And like I said, the earlier, the better for getting in touch with one.
That's good.
Yeah.
What's, so you mentioned pre-approval process. So what does that look like for most people? Because I know that it's not like, oh, here's my social security number and then we're done. There's a lot to it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, first of all, I suggest, I actually strongly encourage buyers to work with a local lender. You know, the temptation is to get online and, you know, you don't want to talk to anybody. You just want to put in the basic information and
Rocket
then
mortgage.
Yeah. And then, you know, print off your pre-approval letter and walk into a real estate office and say, hey, I want to buy a house. You know, one problem with that is, you know, when you go around with your pre-approval letter from a faceless virtual lender, and you make an offer, the seller and the agent representing the seller are going to say, well, you know, I don't know anything about who's behind this loan. The important thing to the seller is that you're going to close escrow. And if there's a problem with the lending, you know, that's one of the major things that causes a deal to fall through. Well, if you work with a local lender, those lenders that, you know, those pre-approval letters and their faces that are coming across local agents' desks all the time, you know, they're really familiar with working with these people, and you really get personalized service, and it doesn't really cost you more, you know, to get that personal local loan officer assigned to you. But yeah, as far as the pre-approval process, you know, your loan officer will be able to talk you through that. But it's typically, you know, 2 years of tax returns, your last two pay stubs, 2 months of bank statements, and then, you know, they'll do a credit check, you know, to just kind of qualify you overall financially, your credit worthiness, and, you know, and then that's where you can find out where you can best spend your efforts moving forward. If you know, like I said, if you need to do some credit repair or work on saving more for a down payment or things like that. But yeah, it's kind of the lender thing is an early step also, which a lot of people think, you know, it's a more advanced thing, but it really isn't. It doesn't cost you anything to talk to somebody.
No.
So
I mean,
I say do it.
As if I can chime in real quick, as a first-time home buyer, you can also find out you might be qualified for more than what you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You go through this process, and I'm saying this because Danny's actually my realtor. He's trying to find us.
What?
A house.
Yeah, I know. What? That's so weird. And
so weird.
It's kind of a better situation when you work in the same office. but it, you know, as we didn't realize, my wife and I didn't realize that, oh, we're qualified for a little bit more than we thought. And it kind of was nice to go through the process with Danny and with our lender and to realize, oh, wow, this could be a good situation. We can find a really nice house for what we can afford. So I would encourage people as first-time home buyers, second-time home buyers, if you're buying your 18th home, whatever it is, go through that process and you might be surprised. So,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, I think that's important to remember is like local.
Oh, yeah.
People probably have relationships with a good local lender.
Mm-hmm.
I see those commercials all the time during baseball games and football games on TV. It's like you've always got like the celebrity pitching Rocket Mortgage and then whatever other one that's out there. And it's like, I hear so many horror stories from people who think that they just plug in the numbers, but it like then their credit is not fantastic. So then you have to go through the process all over again. And, you know, I think we had somebody with the real estate office that I used to sit in that was making an offer on a house, and they had to get completely pre-qualified all over again because the letter that they had wasn't a letter of guaranteed funds. It was just, here's what you could potentially buy. So it's misleading. You don't really walk out of, you print it off on your home printer and then you're like, I'm ready to go, guys. And it's misleading. People think that they're getting something that they're not really getting.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like Cody, like you're saying, is then you can just talk to the person who's really helping you through the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of like, we have certain requirements for renting and it's sort of the same process with buying. It's just a little more in depth.
Yeah.
Very similar.
So I know like first time home buyer, like I would be a first time home buyer.
Same.
We're getting ready to potentially buy. I guess I could just walk upstairs and talk to you.
Talk to Danny. He's your guy.
But I think that makes it so easy because it's personal relationships, local lenders, somebody who has a face that isn't just like an email signature and a, you know, business card that doesn't really like match. You never actually talk to the person on the phone.
Yeah.
You're like, I think I have a lender. I'm not sure. And then they're like it based in like Kentucky or Tennessee.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna drive.
You're approved to buy here.
Yeah. Yeah. and then you're like, so you can't come with me to talk to my realtor.
Right.
Let's have a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
You know, you get some rando bank that you're like, I don't know where that is. Mm-hmm. It's in Delaware.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Amazing. But first time home buyer programs, like what would you say, are there some really good ones right now? Cause I know I hear about them all the time, like, oh, first time home buyers get zero down or this or that, or like, you know, cause it's, I think a lot of people like me for a long time, I was intimidated by the, how much you need to have for a down payment and like your credit score needs to be this and you have to have this amount of income. Like, how would you, a first-time home buyer like me, who's just got a bunch of gobbledygook in my head. Like, calm down, Deanna.
Yeah.
You can buy a house. It's okay.
Yeah.
Gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook.
I like that one down for yeah. And yeah. So first time home buyer program. So first of all, you can have owned a home in the past and still qualify as a first time home buyer. As long as you haven't owned a home in the last 3 years, you're considered a first time home buyer. When I bought my first house, I used a kind of a first time home buyer program. They tend to change a little bit, but it's basically the same, where it's a down payment assistance program where they lend you pretty much the full amount for the house, and then another loan that helps cover down payment, closing costs, and stuff like that. So
okay,
typically it's up to 3.5%, which is actually in most cases you can actually buy a house with 3.5% down without a first time home buyer program. So, if 3.5% down is typically the minimum, actually you can do 3% down. And if you're a veteran, you can do 0% down with a VA loan. There's a lot of options, but yeah, those first time home buyer programs are really helpful. It's hard to save money, especially, when you're talking about the chunk needed for a down payment for a house.
Mm-hmm.
Those programs really help people get their foot in the door and become owners sooner than they think. And again, our local lenders out here are really familiar with that stuff. They can give you real details. Anybody can contact me and I'll put you in touch with a local lender. I don't get any money for referring people to a lender. The only reason that I would first refer somebody to a lender is because I believe that it's the right thing to do. So,
really awesome.
You can pretty much trust that, there's no other reason for me to send you to a lender.
You're not getting cash on the table.
No kickbacks or anything like that. Nope.
Would you say that's still beneficial for people in today's market with how crazy the market is and how fast homes are buying? Would you still say go through the first time home buyer programs, or would you say if you have a down payment, do it that way?
Well, so if you have a down payment, it really depends. So you can have, if you have the money for a down payment, you can still use the down payment assistance first time home buyer program and keep, if you want to hold back some money for paint, carpet, little repairs and things like that. So you still have that as an option. The one thing that you do, I guess the trade-off is the interest rate is going to be a little bit higher. So that's kind of the trade-off. So, the best thing to do, like I said, I keep coming back to it. Talk to the lender. They'll run numbers in every, for every scenario with you. They'll spend as much time as you need, figuring out, where you're at, because it all comes down to, affordability, monthly payment, right?
Yeah. That's really awesome though, because for me as a first time home buyer, if I was looking into it, then I would have all the what if questions. I would be like, well, what if tomorrow I lose my job? What if, what if I put it all down on my down payment and then I don't have a monthly payment? What if? So
yeah,
that's where all of those questions can get answered.
Yep.
No, and that's the thing, right? Is that with the economy always having like fluctuations and things being weird, especially the last couple of years. Like, I'm an independent contractor for most of the people I work with. So it ends up being one of those things for me where I'm like, well, one month my income might be like, woohoo. And then another month my income is like, uh-oh, no one wants to pay their invoices.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that I think has been intimidating for me as a potential buyer, is like, my income is like this sometimes. So, the roller coaster ride can be a little bit scary.
Yeah.
With what Ellie was saying though, about, is it still a good time with how fast houses are selling? I mean, is it a good time to sell still? If you're an investment owner, should you consider selling some of your property or should you keep it? What would you tell an investor?
Again, it comes back to what is it that's causing you to think about selling? Do you need that money for something else? Are you thinking about you know, turning that money into a bigger investment, you know, maybe selling one or two single family homes and buying a small apartment building or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great time to do that. The demand for houses is still super high. We're seeing a little bit of a slowdown. Finally, it's not as crazy as it has been. But the demand is still there. Houses are still selling for top dollar, quickly. And, you know, if it makes sense to you to sell, yeah, I mean, there's probably not going to be any easier time to sell, you know, moving forward than right now. But again, you know, I like to talk to those people and find out what it is that they're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
and kind of help them get there. You know, I've never convinced anybody to buy or sell a house. You can't just convince somebody to do that.
Right.
Right. So I don't try. I just, you know, I listen more than I talk, when I'm talking to clients, and kind of just let them decide by giving them information. But yeah, I mean, sellers are still winning big in the market right now. And it's getting a little easier for buyers, which is exciting for me also, because it's been really challenging working with buyers lately, but it's getting better. But there, you know, it's still, we still anticipate a seller's market, you know, for the foreseeable future.
That's cool. That's cool. Did you guys have any other questions for Danny while we have him on the hot seat?
I had one that I wrote down here. It's just more of a curiosity, but everyone has like their dream home wish list.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to purchase with a budget, how do you guide clients to establish like their priorities?
Yeah. So it starts with a budget, right?
Sure.
You kind of have to work backwards from budget. The things I like to focus on the things about the property that you can't change, mm-hmm. right? Is it a condo versus a house? You're not going to be able to change what that is.
Mm-hmm.
The location, you know, does it have a view? You know, the things that you can change easily, countertops, you know, cabinetry, paint, bathroom vanity, all those things are, you know, you can get that done. But you know, what's really important, location, you know, you want to be in a condo in Valencia. Okay, cool. So let's focus on condos in Valencia that meet, you know, your real basic criteria. You need 3 bedrooms because your family's growing. All right. So when we look at a house with a tile countertop,
yeah.
You know, let's
can't be like, oh, I want granite.
Right.
This is not the one for me.
Right. And you know, there's no perfect house. It doesn't matter. The house could have everything you think that you need, and then in 6 months, you're going to find things that you want to change about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, just the things that you can't change that are really important to look at, because buying a house is a long-term thing, right? You're going to be there for at least a few years. And over time, you know, you can make those adjustments.
That's actually really funny. I always told all of my friends who are moving out the same thing. I'm like, don't be so picky when it comes to your first apartment, because no matter what, you're going to get there. And 6 months later, you're going to be like, I hate my closet. It's not big enough. Or why don't we have more storage here? Sure. Why did they put this stupid built-in wall here? Like, you're always going to find something.
Why did the pantry look bigger before I got
Exactly. You're always going to find something. How does
that work? Wait, you guys have food in your pantry?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Honestly. No. I don't know. No, but you're always going to find something to nitpick in any house that you live in. Even if you buy your dream home, I feel like you're always going to find something that you want to change or isn't particularly right for your lifestyle, but you thought it was when you initially went and did a tour of the home. So I think that that's really important for any buyer, seller, rental person, anybody.
Oh yeah.
Who, when it comes to thinking of where you're going to be living, don't nitpick it too much, because you're going to nitpick it.
Yeah.
To the day you die.
No, definitely. Yeah. Like, I remember my first the first place I rented out of college was like a tiny 900 square foot house in Burbank. And all we were thinking about was location. We wanted to be close to all the things we wanted to be close to. And we didn't really pay attention to the house. And it was a tiny house. And then we moved in November. It was beautiful, right? Because it's November in Burbank and it's SoCal. So it's like, it's not that hot. It's like nice days. And then summer came and we were like, no central AC wall unit in the living room. And we're just like, do we live in the living room now? Is that, was that where we live? It was a cute house, but it was like not functional for what we needed it for.
Same. You know, my first apartment had a wall unit AC too. And that was one of my big sellers on my next apartment. I was like, oh, I don't have to have a wall unit that I have to crank until it turns itself off.
You better believe as soon as we, like, we were two single ladies. And as soon as our lease was up, we were like, peace, we're moving up the hill. Like, sorry, can't do this again. I have literally lived in a sauna for a year.
Yeah.
What else do we have for Danny before we go on to our fun stories?
Let's see. How's your experience with our team?
Oh yeah. Do you like us?
Do you like us?
I mean, I'm on the mic, so I better watch what I say. No, this is a great, team. I tend to thrive in a team environment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to be around, you know, kind of like-minded people. That's something that, you know, is missing in a lot of places, especially coming from a law enforcement background. There's a lot of camaraderie built into that profession. So it's really nice to have, you know, friends at work. That's really great. But besides that, if we keep coming back to this personal touch thing, I'm really impressed by, you know, all of the little extra things that the Cal Leasing staff does. You know, at move-ins, that when a resident moves into a place, they get like this fully custom, and these gift baskets keep growing.
Yeah. No, they get bigger. I mean, they're like an experience now.
Yeah, it is. It's really an experience. What it is. Yeah, it they really could show is. Up with a trunk full of goodies.
We have our own little moving crew that comes and like every piece is, you know.
Yep.
And it's these guys setting it up.
It's like, you have a dog. Great. Let me get you some dog food. No.
Yeah. And they, you know. Yeah. They celebrate the residents moving in. It's like a, you know, they put it on the social media, you know, and they share, even the stuff that doesn't make social media, they put it out on a group chat, you know, look at our new, you know,
love our group chat.
Yeah.
You just joined that one.
Yeah. It's but yeah, no, you know, so they're not even just doing it for show on social media. They really actually care because it's showing up, you know, where only a few people see it. So it's impressive.
And
it's
we really like nice. Each other. Yeah. That makes it fun.
Yeah.
Cause I've been around for a while and sometimes you don't necessarily like the people in the property management office all the time.
Susan's over there shaking her head.
if you can be a fly on the wall, sometimes stories that you would hear between all of us, but we're so glad to have you as a part of the team. It's super fun
thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you're a good fit with the rest of us, I think, because we all have the same kind of sense of humor.
I have noticed that. Which is awesome. I love that.
You're a good foosball partner too.
Well, yeah, like I said, foosball culture is huge around here.
Ellie's getting better. She's getting there.
I'm good at being second best because none of you guys have blown me out of the water except for Danny Beck.
So hold on, I have a question.
I always come within two at least. It's because I fail at the end. I crack under pressure. It's not because you guys are that much better than me, okay?
She's pretty good.
I have a question though. If a boxer comes out of nowhere and beats the heavyweight champion, is he the best boxer in the world or did he just win one match?
He just won one match, right? Like, is it a lottery ticket or did they actually win? Because that's how I feel about the Dallas Mavericks being in the playoffs right now.
The ownership. The ownership has beat me once. He's played one game. Against me and beat me barely, by the way.
There you go.
But my office record rules. My record speaks for itself.
Like, he did beat everybody in the office. I need to hang it. I have a whiteboard. I need to hang it up.
Yeah, we have it.
I know. I'm gonna get a trophy too. Don't worry.
Excellent.
It will be office champ, and you can keep it for a week.
It's gonna be good times.
I love it. I love it so much. So we're going to wrap up with our last section and everybody can share a fun story. So last week, we sort of had the, you know, like share a fun story or silly story or scary story, if you want, they can be all three, about your experience in property management. Who wants to go first?
Ellie, go.
Well, you said scary story and I had one pop up right away.
There you go. Scary.
One time I went to a property, mind you, it was a brand new build. I wasn't like all that scared. I was that scared. I called Danny and I was like, I don't want to go in. But I got there and it was one of the new 5-point houses. And I got there to do a move-in inspection and drop off a move-in basket. And when I got there, like, those streets are kind of funny where like you can either park on the front and go to the front door, or you park where like the garage is. And you have to walk all the way around to the front door. So I parked where the garage was because there was construction on the other road. And then the garage was just wide open. And I called Danny and I was like, is anybody supposed to be at this house? And he was like, no, what are you talking about? He's like, the garage is wide open. He was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And then he was like, that's funny. That shouldn't be like that. And then I was like, oh, has anybody been here today? And he was like, no, nobody is supposed to be there today, but you. And I was like, and then I like walk up and the garage door wide open, the whole house wide open there. I was like, what if there's a squatter in here, Danny? I don't want to go upstairs. He was like, just stay on the phone with me. You'll be fine. I was like, Danny, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I was just so scared. And then, I mean, I went through the whole house. Everything was fine. I did walk around. Like, I have a gun. I didn't. But, you know, it's the thought that counts, because they might have gotten a little scared if there was someone in there. But that's the day that I decided I want to get a taser. Like,
oh, no. Someone with a gun.
I got a gun.
Don't mess with me, ghost.
Like, they look like the little Nerf gun tags. No.
That's amazing.
Yeah, aww. No. But that was my scary story. And then after that, now I've been extra precautious about going to any properties that might be left open.
We'll get you like a dart gun or something.
Honestly. Or a Nerf gun with you. Pepper spray, honestly, would suffice if I was smart enough at the time to carry it, but now I do.
Good.
No,
I do. We'll get you hooked up.
Ellie walking around properties with like a tranquilizer gun. She's just a dart gun. And she's just like cranking the squatters that are just popping out like a shooting gallery.
The problem is, she's going to eventually, if she does, like an owner's going to be in there. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I got you.
Like, no. I just darted somebody. That was the owner.
No. Why did he look like a hobo? He's working on the house.
Grandpa, the handyman.
Honestly, no.
All right, Cody, hopefully your story doesn't have to do with shooting owners.
It does not. Mine is an emergency call line that came through when I first started, and Destiny actually helped me out with this one. It was really funny. We had a tenant call the emergency line, and they were claiming that there was a flood and it was causing a fire and people were getting hurt, and oh my gosh. And it was like
water, fire, flood.
First emergency call. So I'm like, send everybody, right? So we send out the plumbers. I told them to call 911. And I'm like, people just go, go, go. And it turns out the water heater was leaking, and that was it. Huh. So
it wasn't a biblical per person.
No, it was not biblical per person. The apocalypse is not happening.
I'm like water on fire.
But it taught me that anytime someone, you know, calls the emergency line and they're saying, oh my gosh, the world's on fire, I have them explain what's happening. I take everything with a grain of salt. I'm like, listen, what's really happening here? Oh, the water heater's leaking. Okay, let's turn it off and let's call the plumber.
Let's assess the situation slowly together.
That was a fun intro to the emergency line.
It was your first call, though.
It was crazy.
Yeah,
that would make
me. Like, I'm never doing this again.
Really nervous.
But it ever since then, it's been fine. You just have to go, all right, we'll get someone to come out, and
Thanks for calling the emergency line.
Thanks for calling the emergency line. I can only imagine the emergency line caller guys, the people that answer.
Oh, I'm sure they have tons of stories. They could probably write a book.
We should call
they would
them.
Probably be like, this is not an emergency. Everything will like
just take a deep breath and turn off the faucet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going
to be okay. I promise.
We should hit them up and see if they can send us some stories.
That would be fun.
That would be great.
My story goes back to when I had to serve a 30-day notice on a property that was the owner was going to be taking it back over. He wanted to move in. It wasn't like we were evicting the tenant. It was just the owner wants to move back into the property while he's living in the state of California. He had moved back east to take care of his mom. His mom sadly passed away. So he was like, I want my Bridgeport townhome back. And so I went to serve the notice. The lady who was the resident at the time was home, and I was just going to put it on the door because we had to email it and then mail it. And then I was like, well, I live right by there, so I'll just, you know, put it in her thing, put it in the, and she starts yelling at me from the other side of the door. I could not understand what she was saying, but there was a lot of profanity. And she's yelling at me like, you can't take my house. And I'm like, I'm not taking your house. You don't own this house. So I end up calling the property manager at the time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this lady was yelling at me. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is crazy. And she was like, well, I'll call her. I've already called her a few times this last week, but she doesn't, you know, return my calls. Don't worry, I'll give her a call. So we're not ever able to get a hold of her. Her move out date is coming up. And she's like MIA. The neighbors who live on either side of her, like, we haven't seen her. We don't know if she's still there. Like, her two sons have been living there with her. And we were like, sons? She has kids? The woman looked like she was 30. And they're like, she had two adult sons that moved in. I'm like,
oh boy.
Did she have babies when she was 11? Like, there's just no way. So we get a call from the neighbor and says, like, there was a moving truck here last night at like 11 o'clock at night. And I think they vacated it and they moved out. So I get the keys and I'm like, well, I'll just go like preview the property because the owner was going to be in town the following week. And I was like, we'll just make sure I'm going to go take pictures and do the whole thing that we do for move outs. Still haven't been able to get a hold of her. I walk up to the door and there's a deputy waiting for me. And I'm like,
was it Danny?
It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
But
he was like,
oh, are you supposed to be here? And I was like, yes, are you supposed to be here? And I was like, it's not an eviction. So what the heck is going on? So I'm like, well, I just need to check the property. And he's like, well, I got called that somebody was trying to enter the property unlawfully. And I was like, well, I'm the only one here with keys. Like, and he's like, I'm going to come in with you because he's like, I'm a little concerned about this situation. Who would have called me? And I'm like, I don't know. The neighbors aren't home because we'd gotten to know them fairly well. And I'm like, she supposedly moved out last night. And he was like, well, what's the name? And so I showed him the paperwork and like that. He's like, well, that's who called us. So I was like, this lady, what is she trying to pull? So I opened the door. And not only did she vacate the property, she decided to wreck the property because she didn't want to move. So the banister is like on the floor. There's a hole where the TV was. There's like, she clearly poured a bottle of red wine on the like very nice beige carpet.
Oh, man.
But she also left like all of her clothes in the closet.
Okay.
So there's like expensive coats and all this stuff.
So that's where you got your dress that you're wearing.
Absolutely.
I was wondering, like,
that's how I afford my lifestyle. Yeah. I just have her Prada shoes. I sell one every couple months, and then that's how I exist. Yeah. I don't really work. Sell people's clothing. But so the deputy, like, he cleared the house for me because he was like, I don't want you to go in there with the state of the living room and how it is. He was very kind. He was so sweet. And he was like, I don't see anybody. He's like, but there's a lot more upstairs. There was like brown stuff smeared on the wall. And initially I was like, please don't be poop. Please don't be poop. Please don't be poop. It wasn't. It was like icing. And like, they tore like the cabinets apart and like pulled things out and like cracked tiles. And so like, I was like, well, I have to call the owner now. And he was like, I've already started a police report for you for vandalism.
Perfect.
Nice. And I was like, yes, this is good. She called you, but I get your help. And that was one of my, like, I think I had been in the business for like 3 months at the time. And I was just like picking up whatever slack the property managers needed. But I mean, those stories are just like, I'll tell people, like, you don't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, my tenant didn't pay this or didn't do that, or they didn't get the carpets cleaned. It's like, really? Mm-hmm. Are the banisters still on the stairs? Because that's good.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, that's, you guys, we, I don't think, I can't think of a time where you guys have had to deal with that.
Deal with that? No, I haven't had to deal with that. Not to that level, no.
Because tenant screening is huge, right?
So much better.
Oh, yeah.
So much better.
And right now, because based on the rental market, only the best qualified residents are getting the properties. So, you know, owners who might be worried about, you know, might be a house that they live in and they're moving out. Yeah. And they're going to say, well, I've heard horror stories.
Yeah.
Sure. Anything can happen. But, you know, the reason why you hire a property management company is screen the tenants to, you know, do everything we can beforehand to make sure something like that doesn't happen.
And not only do we like urge the best applicant on paper, we also get to meet a lot of the applicants now because they love to come into our office and beg and plead for properties, which is awesome. But it gives us a face-to-face interaction with the type of people that they are. And I mean, I believe in first impressions, and I believe first impressions are big, especially when it comes to applicants, because you can tell, like, what, especially by the questions they ask when they come into the office, you can tell what kind of people that, like, or how they live, at least based on, like, well, if I punch a hole in the wall, am I going to get charged for it? That's probably not something you ask your property manager.
What was your name again?
Probably not. Yeah.
Cancel, I'm like, so application.
we get very lucky with the applicants that we have in the screening process, and the fact that we get to meet everybody and have a face-to-face interaction with
Sure. From 10 years ago to today, the screening process is completely different. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I think that's the thing, is we've had less and less and less and less issues with residents and with evictions and having to give people notice for stuff. There's always going to be little things, but I think it's gotten a lot better. Before we sign off, does anybody have anything else they want to share today?
Mr. Danny? No?
Yeah.
I thanks for having me on. This is fun.
thanks for hanging out with us.
I would love to do it again sometime.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You'll be back.
Just let me know.
You're on the list.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm hoping for a second date. I know.
We'll definitely reach out for a second date. Well, thanks so much to our guest, Danny, real estate professional and expert. Yes. If you need anything, we'll have his link to his contact information in the details for the description. So if you need to buy or sell a house in the Santa Clarita or San Fernando Valley, you have someone here. Or Ventura, you do Ventura County too?
Yeah, and the Antelope Valley.
And the Antelope Valley. Yeah. Wow. He's
everywhere, all at once.
Everywhere you need him to be.
That's omnipresent.
That's a net. You've covered, my friend. I love it.
Well, thanks so much for listening, you guys. We really appreciate your time. And we are, somehow we manage.
Somehow
signing off.
See you next time.